Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
I dug my key into the side of his pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. Okay, they know it. Carved my name, you want to sing? Into his leather seats. I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. I slashed a hole in all four tires. Maybe next time he'll think before he cheats. Now, if you know that song, you know Carrie Underwood is very mad. And she has a reason to be. You know, this guy's cheating on her. And so he is a dirty dog that probably deserves what he's getting with his little souped-up four-wheel drive. But this, I really love this song because it shows us what the culture is like all about. If someone does you wrong, get back at them. Do everything in your power to make them feel sorry for mistreating you, for hurting you, or in Jesus' words, sinning against you. So we've been in this series on forgiveness, and I don't know about you, but it's been very eye-opening and revealing to me, and I'm just like, man, Jesus, like, there's a lot of work that you have left to do on me. I need to be more humble. I need to be more authentic when I'm confessing the sins that I have committed to you and the sins that I have committed against others and the relational damage that really my past is littered with. So I really have zero judgment on Carrie Underwood or whoever that person is that's jacking up that car. But this guy deserves it, and she probably feels better after exerting all of this energy. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes you're just so angry you want to punch something or break something or get this energy out, and you feel a little bit better. But once you catch your breath and your heart rate kind of slows down, all of those emotions come back in to play, don't they? All of that hurt, all of that anger, all of that just baggage that you're carrying is still there. This person in this song has been mistreated. They've been devalued. And to use Jesus' words, this man who's cheated on her has sinned against her. Sure, his car is a wreck, but so is her heart. Her heart is a wreck because of what he has done to her. And worse, if a cop rolled by when she was, you know, bouncing that Louisville Slugger off of his headlight, she probably would have went to a physical prison. But so many of us, through the emotions and the damage that we have experienced, we are living in emotional prisons where someone hurts you and wrongs you, and it's like you're carrying this weight around with you. You know, they hurt you, and now you have anger and rage and bitterness, and you might even start doubting yourself or thinking negatively about yourself and who you are, and your identity starts to take a crisis and a hit, and you're just carrying all of this weight around with you. And Jesus is saying there's a pathway that you can find freedom for yourself today and not have to carry this weight anymore. And I found myself while on vacation that, oh wow, I didn't realize, but I've been carrying a whole lot of emotional baggage and weight with me ever since leaving New York City. Heather and I, we were in Saugatuck, Michigan, which if you've never heard about it like us, please Google it. It's beautiful. If you have the money, go there, take a vacation. It's great. But while we were there, the kind of unthinkable happened. A person who went to our church, who was personal friends with us back in New York City, she showed up. We ran into her almost the last night that we were there, and we were going to go out onto Lake Michigan on this the Star of Saugatuck. It's like this big paddle boat. We're going to go out there on watch the sunset and be real romantic, you know, and we're celebrating my wife's birthday. And then lo and behold, she's sitting at the table behind us out on Lake Michigan. It's like, oh my goodness, oh hey, you know, and so we catch up and we, you know, it was wonderful to see her and run into her. But later that night, I was feeling really bad. I was feeling like all of this weight on my back right now during that moment. Even though I was on vacation, taking a much needed break, I was not there in Saugatuck. I was emotionally back in the past that God had brought us through. And so I was sitting there and I was like, this is going to potentially ruin our vacation. And so the next morning I wake up, I go out onto the like front porch of where we're staying, and with my favorite chair, which they had, are Adirondack chairs, which I'm going to be building this week. And so pray for me, because I think that there's a level of spiritual maturity that you can unlock when you're sitting in an Adirondack chair. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, like I need some freedom here. I need to find a way out of this, because I'm still kind of locked in this emotional prison, and I'm feeling all of this weight from my past and all of this baggage, and I need you to help me get out of it. Now, thankfully, the Lord helped me through that, and we had a wonderful rest of our vacation. But when I got back and Phil was like, hey, could you preach this message? And I shared that with him. He's like, how about you go through some of what you're about to tell you guys? How about you go through that yourself? And so I was able to do that and found some freedom for myself that we'll talk about later today. But I want freedom today for me, and I want freedom for you. I want to be free from the emotional damage and hurt that I've received from others in my past, but that requires me to forgive them, even though they don't deserve it, even though they're not asking for it, even though I'm really not even in relationship with them because we don't live in the same city or work together, even though I no longer have a relationship with them, I still need to give them forgiveness, because I want freedom for myself from the prison that I can force myself into by choosing to not forgive them. So if you want that today, if you want to drop all of that weight off of your back, all of that emotional weight, and get it off of you, Jesus says that there is a pathway that is for you, that you can travel down in order to find freedom for yourself. And that pathway always includes forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, Jesus gives us this roadmap that we're going to kind of explore today and look at the different kind of checkpoints on this roadmap that leads us to our destination of freedom. God wants you to be free today. He doesn't want you to be in prison or weighted down by emotions and past hurts. He doesn't want you carrying baggage from one relationship to another, or just stop being authentic and open to any relationship because you're afraid that there's going to be damage coming your way. But this can only happen when you choose to forgive. So if you want freedom for yourself today, then follow Jesus's roadmap. And the first checkpoint to finding freedom for yourself is that forgiveness is your choice. Forgiveness is your choice. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a tax collector. Now, those are pretty harsh words, especially in Jesus' day, and we'll unpack those for our day. But it's interesting, before we get into all that, it's interesting, who is Jesus talking to? He is not talking to the person who is guilty. He never speaks to the person who was doing the sinning. Instead, he only speaks to the person who has been wronged. He's only speaking to the person who is not guilty. He is only speaking to the offended person and encouraging them to go on the offensive and forgive those who have offended them. I mean, really? Doesn't that make you a little mad? It does me. Like, hey, wait a minute, Jesus. Like, I'm the one that's wronged here. Like, they did this to me, and I've got to go forgive. I've got to go do the things. I'm the innocent one. They're guilty. They need to come to me and ask for forgiveness. They need to come to me and express how sorry they are and all of these things. But Jesus says, no, If you want to find freedom for yourself, you have to be the one who goes on the offensive, and you have to be the one who gives forgiveness, because forgiveness is a choice that only the offended can make. Only the offended can choose to forgive those who have offended them. And our society doesn't understand that. They understand Carrie Underwood's version of forgiveness. You know, they don't understand what Jesus is talking about here. And to be honest, it's really hard to fully understand it myself, and I'm trying to pattern my life after him. But according to a recent survey, 60% of Americans believe that forgiving someone would first depend on the offender apologizing and then them making changes. So they have to apologize, they have to fix up their life, then I'll forgive them. And that's really not forgiveness, is it? That doesn't cost you anything. Instead, they're making all of this restitution, and then you just grant them forgiveness? That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. Because forgiveness is only the choice of those who have been offended. That same study goes and talks about how 90% of Americans and 90% of the rest of the world personally admit that they need more forgiveness in their lives. So this study is showing us that we really don't understand what forgiveness is, but we all want it. Jesus is teaching us that something so countercultural that we struggle to even follow it and put it in place in our lives. And Jesus is saying that you must choose to forgive the person who has hurt you before you reach out to them privately, before you include other people to go and confront them, before you take your case to a larger group that can kind of help you navigate that relational turmoil, or the church in this case. Before you get others involved, you must decide whether you're going to forgive them or not. Jesus tells a story right before this section of scripture that we're exploring today. In Matthew 18, verse 12 and 13, he says, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away." So Jesus is saying, just like this good shepherd, which is him, go out to those who have offended you and have the same motivation in your heart to go and find them and bring them back into relationship. Sure, they've wronged you. Sure, you have a case. Sure, it's hurtful and painful. And you can take all of that to Jesus and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is the emotions that I'm dealing with. But give me the motivation to go out and find the person that who is lost, the person who has sinned against me, and really who has sinned against you. Jesus is telling us to go and find them, go and point out anything, the wrong that they have done. And it's really interesting, in the Greek original language of the New Testament, go and point out are actually commandments. And that's a bummer, because Jesus is saying this is not optional. You don't, oh, well, they really hurt me, and boy, they did this to me, and therefore, hey, you did that, and, you know, it's over with. No, Jesus is saying this is actually a commandment that Jesus is giving us, because go in the original Greek is a verb that's active, present, imperative, second person plural. Or I'm sorry, second person singular. And so what that really means, from all of the seminary that I went through, you must go. You must go. It's not an option. You have to go to that person who has wronged you so that you can restore them and bring them back into relationship with you and with God. Just like the good shepherd leaves the 99 to go find that one, you have to go and to the person who has wronged you and try your best to bring them back into relationship. Go and point out our commandments that Jesus is giving us today. You see, if someone has wronged you, or as Jesus puts it, sinned against you, then that person has not only sinned against you, but he's also broken one of God's commandments for not loving their neighbor as they should. Likewise, if you refuse to forgive them, then you aren't loving your neighbor as you should, and you are sinning against them because they sinned against you. And there's just this vicious cycle that breaks down relationship and creates dysfunctional relationships within the church and within society, forcing 60% and upwards to 90% of Americans saying, yeah, we need more forgiveness. But nobody wants to do the hard work of following Jesus' command of humbling yourself, confessing, relying on the Spirit to motivate you to go to the person who has offended you and sinned against you and forgive them. You see, you must choose to forgive, not because you feel like it, not because, oh, it's a good idea, or because they deserve it. It's because Jesus commands it and he actually models it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What that means is, while I was still sinning against God, while I was still opposed to him, while I was still breaking relationship with him, Jesus came and forgave me and made a way for me to enter into a relationship with him and a way for me to find freedom spiritually and physically and holistically. Jesus, the offended party, goes on the offensive to rescue the offender. Isn't that all? That is good news. That is the gospel where Jesus is saying, hey, I have a laundry list of offenses where you are guilty of, but I'm going to kind of overlook that because I want to forgive you and bring you back into relationship. And that is what we are called to do. We were guilty of sinning against God, and we were not asking for forgiveness. Yet God, because of his love, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, sometimes the seemingly easiest thing can be the most difficult thing to ever do. Forgiving others is extremely difficult, but I want to encourage you to practice forgiveness, no matter how hard or hurtful it may be, because the reason is because you, when you choose to forgive, you are actually choosing freedom for yourself. When you choose to forgive, you are choosing freedom for yourself. Lewis B. Smead, who was a renowned theologian and professor at Fuller Seminary, he once said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. Do you feel like a prisoner today? Do you feel like you're carrying 20 pounds of weight on your back because that person hurt me? Because that person said that about me. Because they mistreated me. They sinned against me. There is so much freedom and relief that you can find today when you choose to forgive. If Jesus has forgiven you, then Jesus is commanding you to forgive others. This is part of our identity as followers of Jesus. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. No matter how difficult it is, so that we can find freedom for ourselves. So the first stop on our pathway to freedom is to choose to forgive. But the second stop, the second road checkpoint is that forgiveness brings holistic healing. Forgiveness brings holistic healing, not only to yourself, but to everyone else involved. Jesus says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. That's a command. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. There's healing there. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, Jesus is showing us that the ones who claim that he is their Lord and Savior, the leader of their life and trying to follow him, that it is their job, it is our job to do everything that we can within our power to bring healing and forgiveness and freedom and reconciliation back to that relationship that we have with our brother or sister in Christ. And this is so important because Jesus is showing us that the transformative power of forgiveness, that it brings freedom and healing to you, but also to the person who has wronged you. I love this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, who obviously has been sinned against, if you know anything about history. He says, "Forgiveness does not mean ignoring what has been done or putting a false label on an evil act. It means, rather, that the evil act no longer remains as a barrier to the relationship. Forgiveness is a catalyst, creating the atmosphere necessary for a fresh start and a new beginning." I love that. Do you have any relationships in your life that are worthy of a fresh start? Do you have any relationships or friendships that, man, I just want to create the environment and the atmosphere necessary for a new beginning to happen? There's some that are coming to my mind as I'm speaking. I'm sure there are some that are coming to your mind as well. And so Jesus gives us a three-step process for bringing healing and freedom back to that broken and damaged relationship. Now, before we dive into each step, there is a disclaimer. If you're here today or watching online and someone has physically abused you or sexually abused you or is emotionally or mentally manipulative towards you, these steps actually don't apply to you. Sure, give them forgiveness because you need to find freedom. But go back to last week's message and listen to Pastor Phil's sermon on how Paul directs us to bring forgiveness and healing to relationships, even if we really can't trust that person because they're not safe people for you. And so with that in mind, let's go on through the next steps that Jesus gives us. The first step is to privately confront that person. You don't know if they're an unsafe person. Maybe they haven't abused you or mistreated you, you know, to that extent. So go to them privately. Why does Jesus want us to do that? Well, there's several reasons. When we go and point out that offense in a brother or sister, we are actually showing them that we value them and the relationship enough to put up with the really difficult situation of confronting them. That is so extremely difficult. For some people like me, it's easier. You know, I'm okay with conflict, but not everybody is. And so, but we have to go through that conflict in order to find peace, in order to find healing. And that is what we want to bring to that person. So when you go to them privately, you're showing them that this relationship is important to you. But it's also safeguarding them from any shame or gossip that could happen because of what they've done to you. So go to them privately. And if you win them over, wonderful. But if you don't win them over and they refuse to listen, they refuse to admit any wrongdoing, then the second step is evidence-based confrontation. And I call it that because really, you have to lay out the case of what happened from your opinion. And then they also are able to do the same because two or three other people who are impartial, who don't know the situation, don't really have much invested in this situation, are able to determine and kind of rule, to use the New Testament's language, of what actually happened. And I don't know about you, but this has definitely happened like in my family. Me and my sister, like, my sister is super smart and smarter than me. I can say that because she's on a plane and she won't listen to this. But she is super smarter than me, and she will always win that argument growing up. And me, you know, I just wouldn't give it up. Like, no, I'm going to keep arguing until I finally win, but she's just always winning the argument. And so eventually mom and dad had to say, enough. What's the situation? And they would kind of rule over, no, John, you actually are saying things that didn't actually happen. And your memory of this isn't reality. So why don't you just move on and forgive, you know? And so that's what you open yourself up to when you have two or three other people coming alongside of you and the person who has wronged you. Because you're actually being humble. You're saying, you know what? I may actually have this wrong. I may have actually misheard you. Or you said this and I interpreted it a way that really offended me and hurt me, but that wasn't your intention at all. And so you're opening yourself up to healing and humility in that moment by bringing other people alongside of you. Now, if that solves the situation, great. If not, go to step 3, where it talks about public confrontation. So you've had private confrontation, you've brought all of the evidence forward and opened yourself up humbly to correction. But if they actually are like, nope, you have a case, this person's wrong, they're still not admitting any wrongdoing, there's public confrontation that needs to happen in order to bring that person back into relationship with God and with one another. So if they refuse to admit any wrongdoing, take the case to a larger group of believers or to the church, so that the church can decide if this person is actually a safe person or not. If this person is actually someone you should be in relationship with or not. So when a person refuses to admit any wrongdoing or seek any forgiveness for what they've done, they, according to Jesus, are not a safe, a spiritually safe person. They may not be relationally safe. They may not even be emotionally or physically safe. So Jesus instructs us to keep the freedom that we have found by forgiving them. Through all of these steps, you still need to forgive them. Their actions don't determine whether they're forgiven by you or not. You have to make the choice to forgive them and remain in the freedom that you find for yourself by forgiving them. And so as you're walking through this, and if they still refuse to admit any wrongdoing, Jesus is saying that, yeah, you should proceed to step four, disassociation from unsafe people. Remove that relationship from your life so that you can still walk in the freedom that you have found for yourself and allow the consequences of their actions and their choices to take over. We are far too quick to end relationships, aren't we? We are far too quick to just cancel people, push them out, ghost them. You know, you hurt me, you know, I'm done with you. Or you hurt me and I am not willing to confront you about it and go through the hard stuff of trying to find reconciliation with you. So therefore, I'm just going to walk away from you. Boy, that doesn't look like Jesus, does it? And if you say I'm following Jesus, your life should look like his. And if your life looks like his, that means you go on the offensive and you forgive them and you try to draw them back into relationship with you. Because friendships and relationships are so important. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Friendship is not unnecessary, like philosophy, like art, like the universe itself. It has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things which gives value to survival." Man, I love that quote because I'm a type of person, you hurt me, I'm done with you. You're just out of my life. But then eventually it's like, man, there's like nobody in my life. So what's the point? You know? And so it's like, I need to forgive people. I need to bring people into relationship with me because it gives value to my life. While walking through these four steps can be extremely difficult, it is so worth it because of the freedom that you can find and the freedom that you can give other people. Now, it's not always going to be pie in the sky. It's not always going to end up wonderful. And yeah, they come back and, you know, you move on. So the final checkpoint in this pathway to freedom is to redefine your relationship with unsafe people. So we have to realize that forgiveness is your choice. Forgiveness brings holistic healing. But if people don't want that healing for themselves, you have to maintain that freedom that you have found and redefine that relationship because they are not actually safe for you to be around. What do you do when you've exhausted all your options for being relationally united and to bring healing and freedom to that relationship? What do you do? Well, Jesus says you intentionally redefine that relationship and start treating them differently for the specific purpose of winning them back into relationship one day. In Matthew 18:17, he says, "If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector." So what does that mean? I mean, so I can't be friends with people who work for the IRS? Like, you know, like, what does that mean, Jesus? Well, what that really means is Jesus was speaking specifically to a Jewish audience about corrupt tax collectors who were also Jewish neighbors, and then they would work for a corrupt Roman government to enable and enact taxes on their neighbors to fund the Roman government. But the problem is they would get really corrupt really quick. And they would just start charging you more and more money and pocketing the difference. And so, yeah, I wouldn't want to be around someone like that, you know, who's basically robbing from you. And so Jesus is telling us to treat people who simply refuse to admit any wrongdoing, even when they are found guilty, to treat them as outsiders and even as a traitor. Treat them that way, which is really difficult, isn't it? This is like a hard pill to swallow from Jesus. If a person in your life is refusing to accept any wrongdoing or submit to any spiritual leadership and they claim to be a Christian, then you need to redefine your relationship with them, because this person really is not safe, because they're unrepentant, they're prideful, they refuse to submit to any spiritual leadership in their life, and most likely they're not humble. And so 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 tells us about these people. And he says that the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. I mean, John's not mincing any words, is he? Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning. Because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So while forgiveness brings freedom to you and potentially to others, we have to realize that some people are not interested in walking down this pathway that leads to freedom for their life. And because of that, they're an unsafe person for you to be around and be relationally united with. And so you need to redefine that relationship and start treating them as such. We don't like to think about that, but sin has consequences, and those are the consequences of people's sin. So if you want to find freedom for yourself today, then follow Jesus's roadmap that will lead you down the pathway to freedom. We have to understand that freedom is your choice. It is our choice that will bring freedom to our life. But not only will it bring freedom to us personally, it will also bring holistic freedom to everyone involved in that situation. But when people refuse to change or humbly admit any wrongdoing, then we need to keep walking down the pathway of freedom and live in that freedom by treating them different and redefining our relationship with them. I've had to do this in my life. I talked about earlier about this like emotional baggage that I found in my life when I was on vacation. Yeah, don't judge me. but I found that I was in an emotional prison, really, that just seeing a person from my past transports me back to the arguments and the frustrations and the anger that I left New York City with. I mean, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a prison to me, you know? And I had to do something about it. So enter Pastor Phil. Hey, you know, why don't you preach on forgiveness brings freedom? And why don't you actually do that and apply it to your life? I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I shouldn't be a hypocrite. So I had to do this. And so I could not bring myself to call this person. I just couldn't do it. There's too much anger still. There's too much frustrations. You know, I just couldn't do it. But I could send an email. So I typed up this email, and it was interesting. Like, I got real with it. Like, this is the specific thing that you've done in my past that has now created this result in my life. You have hurt me, and therefore I am not open enough with coworkers and friends and family, because I'm guarding myself from that potentially happening again. And it's because of what you've done to me. And while that's not easy to read, I had to write that because I need to find freedom for myself. But while I was writing that, man, the Holy Spirit convicted me, like, hey, what about the things that you did? What about the words that you said and how you said them? So sure, the portion of the email that went to this individual, that paragraph was pretty small. But man, mine was a big old chunk. Like, I'm sorry for the words I said, for the way I said it, for the attitude of, viewing myself as superior to you, even though you didn't know that, but that's how I'm thinking. You know, and so I need forgiveness from you. And then per Pastor Phil's instruction last week, whenever you feel like you need to respond to this, you can. But I am forgiving you, and I'm going to walk in the freedom that I want. Man, I want that for you guys. Sure, we can take Carrie Underwood's approach. We could bust up someone's car. We could bust up someone's life. But you will never escape the prison that you are finding yourself in when you choose to not forgive people. There is a weight that you can take off of your shoulders today and walk in freedom that Jesus alone can give you. So if you want that for yourself today, if you want to find freedom for yourself today, then you have to realize that forgiveness is the key that unlocks freedom in your life. Forgiveness, which Jesus holds this key, it's forgiveness is the key that unlocks freedom in your life. You can't do it yourself. Those self-help books may medicate the situation, but it may creep up again, just like it did in Saugatuck, Michigan. Freedom can only be found when you forgive. So if you want that for yourself today, I want to encourage you to walk through this prayer with me. I'll read it first, and then we will pray through it together. It's found in Psalms chapter 139, and it's from David. And he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." There is freedom for you today. Let's find it. Heavenly Father, we invite you to search us. Search our hearts right now and see if there is any offensive way in us. God, look at our thoughts. Look at our motivations. Look at our entire lives right now. If you see anything that is offensive, please speak to us. And give us the ears to hear you and the heart to follow you. Help us find freedom for our lives by forgiving those who have wronged us. Our freedom is more important than the prison we can keep ourselves in. Help us do the hard work of forgiving them and freeing ourselves so that we can live and be more like you going forward. And it's in your name we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.